Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
An Erio's original.
Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Aftermath. Today, we're speaking with Lonnie Suri. Lonnie is an expert on media and the law and has worked on many high-profile legal cases. Suri worked on the West Memphis 3 case, where three teenagers were convicted based upon a coerced false confession in 1994. He has written on wrongful conviction issues and testified before the New York State Assembly Codes Committee. He is a member of the advisory group of the New York State Task Force on Wrongful Convictions. He's also the co-founder of Families and Friends of the Wrongfully Convicted. For more information, you can go to their website, wrongfullyconvicted.info. Let's hear what he has to say about the Exonerated Five and other wrongful conviction cases. Hi, Lonnie. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is such an important subject for certainly for your terrific website and listeners or followers. Yeah. As well as everybody else out there. And it's still, while it's in the news, people don't really know how wrongful convictions happen and what the impact is on families and our society as a whole. And even on, you know, because for every wrongfully convicted, there's a right, the perpetrator is still in our community. And that was true, certainly in the Central Park Five case.
Yes, absolutely. We totally agree. This is why we do it. So could you start off by giving us a little background on what you do and how and where you help legal teams fighting wrongful conviction cases?
Certainly. It's kind of a niche. And usually when somebody mentions wrongfully convicted or somebody is wrongfully convicted, it usually means that they've been in jail for 10 or 20 or 30 years, maybe even more. And what happens is their legal remedies are what we call stale, you know, if in fact they've appealed their cases. So they don't have, there's no mandatory attorneys, even for the indigent. You can't have an attorney handle your innocence issues. So then what's the recourse? And the recourse is often to shine a light on the case. And by shining a light on the case, you also develop new evidence. These cases are stale, they're languishing, and especially high profile cases at the time where they're in the news and the media contributed, certainly in most of these wrongful convictions, contributed to the conviction because the voice essentially was the prosecutor. The narrative created that goes before the jury, or the narrative that went to the media of why this person was guilty and what the prosecutor, and the media often took, they only had one voice. In many of these cases, the defense lawyers or the family were either, not sophisticated, afraid, not educated to what an important role the media plays in establishing our point of view. So my role, and it came to it fortuitously. It's not like I woke up one morning and said I have to. I mean, I've always been involved in legal issues. I stood before Attica the day before the Attica uprising. I was a college student in Buffalo, and we went as students, we were all anti-war activists and political, and we went out to Attica because we were afraid of what would happen. And unfortunately, we spent the day there bearing witness, and then basically the police kicked us out from in front of Attica. And the next day, Attica was taken over by the National Guard and the police, and 55 people were killed. So that started my work in those issues. And then, for one reason or another, I went into marketing and advertising and represented companies like General Motors and other big companies. And then years back, about 20 years ago, I got a call from somebody and said, for an old friend, he was a former police detective. And he said, I'm working on this case and I need help. And he was kind of a savant. And he said, I need to get the information about this case out of Suffolk County, which is Long Island, which is very conservative. And it was a false confession case of a young boy who was 16 years old, who was sentenced to 50 years to life in prison for the murder of his parents.
Wow.
So a long answer to a short question is we need to shine the light on these cases. And by shining the light, meaning getting the media involved, new media, old media who now are convinced, telling the narrative, changing the narrative. It's sort of like a public. That's what I do. I worked in advertising, marketing, and public relations. It's changing the narrative. It's developing a new narrative, a true narrative.
So in the case of the Exonerated Five or the Central Park Five, so they're questioned for over 24 hours and they're told during questioning that they would be released if they just admitted the crime. I mean, is this kind of questioning something that's usually practiced?
It
feels like a trap.
It is both. It is a trap. The most amazing thing, and this happens in a lot of wrongful conviction cases, according to the Innocence Project, 63% of all murder exonerations via DNA involved a false confession. So, and according to the Supreme Court, which you may know of, Miranda versus Arizona, the famous case about the Miranda ruling, where you're informed of your rights, the Supreme Court in its written decision said a confession is the most compelling piece of evidence you can be put before a jury. And they didn't say this. I've added it. It almost always results in a conviction. I mean, I've worked on cases where there was literally no evidence other than a false confession. Marty Tanklet's case, essentially the Central Park Five. There was very little evidence tying them to the rape and assault of Miss Melly. Granted, some of them were in the park that night. It was legitimate to interview some of those young men. But essentially what then is done is creating, let's get a case. And the best way they can do is to get a confession. And police can lie, and they did in the Central Park Five case, you can lie to a defendant. And these kids were only, I was with them recently. They were 14 years old. Marty Tankleff was 16 years old. And the police create a scenario where the only rational answer is, maybe I was involved. I don't know. I'll give you a great example of Marty's interrogation. He finds his parents brutally murdered in a big house. His father's still alive. He calls 911. The police come. The hospital comes. They take his father away. The cops throw Marty in the back of the car, and they said they're taking him to the hospital. They take him to the precinct. They throw him in a room and said, you just killed your father or killed your mother. And he said, and they start berating him and telling him the scenario. And then they tell him that his DNA was found in the shower, that his hair was found in his mother's fingers. And this was complete lie. And that the knife, we found the bloody knife on your in your kitchen table. All these things. And then the next thing they did, the phone rings in the interrogation room. Police officer McCrady picks it up and said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they said, Marty, your father just woke up from his coma. And he said that you attacked him.
Wow.
So Marty's, who was a 16-year-old kid who believed in the police, started saying things. It's impossible. I must have blacked out. I have no memory. And the police said, yeah, you must have blacked out. That was essentially the confession that was never signed, never reviewed by Marty. And that confession ended up in a 50 to life sentence. And that's not unique.
Yeah. So this is similar to that case, to the Central Park Five. Are police allowed to lie during an interrogation?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, when 48 hours, I got 48 hours CBS to do a story on Marty's case, they interviewed the detective and they said, you can lie. And he goes this in a sneering way, he goes, the Supreme Court gave me the right to lie.
Wow.
And they can still do it. We're trying to pass a law in New York State that prevents that right in the legislature. And that's how people get wrongfully convicted and make false confessions, because people, they don't, you know, nobody says I did it very often, but they say things that could be deemed incriminating, like I must have blacked out, or you're telling me that so-and-so said I was there, but I don't remember being there, but maybe I don't have their confession in front of me, but you know, maybe I walked past Miss Melly's body when I didn't see it. Yeah, you did. You must have done that. And now all of a sudden we have incriminating evidence and we have a confession, or what, wow, what becomes somewhat of a confession. The other thing we passed in New York State with the help of the Exonerated Five was that confessions have, all interrogations have to be recorded, not just a confession. See, what in the Central Park Five case and in other cases, they show the jury the last minute where the guy says, I don't know, maybe I did it, I don't know. They don't show the 5 hours before then when he goes, I had nothing to do with this. Here's where I was. I was with my mother. I was with my friends. So that's not shown to the jury. So it's really criminal. And it's in the case of prosecutors, ambition, right? Ambition. Damien Echols, who was on death row in Arkansas in the West Memphis 3 case, I helped free him when he got out. We were speaking to a large group of lawyers and they asked him, how did he get wrongfully convicted? And he said, ambition. And it was like, we were all sort of perplexed. It was like, what do you mean? The police became police chiefs. The police chiefs became prosecutors. The prosecutors became judges. And the judges became a state senator on my death row sentence.
Wow.
Prosecutors are 100% of the prosecutors in this country are elected officials. They're politicians. 50% of the judges in this country are elected officials. Right then and there, you know, what are they, it's a recipe for cases that, especially high profile cases, politicians want high profile cases, right? They want publicity, they want fundraising, and high profile case for a prosecutor is like gold.
Wow. Now, can you help us understand how the DA is involved in questioning the defendants and how they run these interrogations?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. Because, in fact, I was speaking to the former police chief in New York, Bill Bratton, who was a friend of mine, and I was telling him about a case that I was working on where the police actually had come upon the murder. They actually saw the gun being fired that killed the victim, and they arrested the guy, and they brought him to the precinct. And then and once they're in the precinct, then the detectives and the prosecutors take over the case. So this police officer who saw the murder actually testified at the guy's trial, Nelson Cruz, who 25 years later is still in prison. And so it gets turned over to prosecutors and the detectives division. The original cop has no say in the case, even if he or she had evidence. Now, you could subpoena that guy or woman and get them to testify, but you have the whole system against you. And that's how prosecutors, they're essentially the leaders of building a case. Police detectives, police officials will go to the prosecutors and tell me what you need. What do you know, how are we going to build a case? What are we going to do with evidence? Let me give you a great example of how people get wrongfully convicted, how cynical it is. I saw an interview with a guy, Dan Slepian, who's a well-known documentary, works for, you know, NBC, and he did a story about a case, and he was interviewing the police detective, and this is a wrongful conviction. Guy spent 20 or 30 years in prison. And finally, the guy got out when they found evidence that he was in Florida or somewhere else during the time of the murder. So Dan is interviewing this cop, the detective, and he says to him, "You had the file. And you, there was a plane ticket in the file that said so-and-so was in Florida." And the cop looks at Dan and goes, "That's not my job to go through his file. That's his lawyer." Yeah. He goes, "That's his lawyer's job. That's the defense lawyer. I have no responsibility to supply evidence to anything." I mean, it was so sickly cynical that it was shocking. But that's how things...
Yes. And it, you know, going back to the exonerated five, that was also the case in that they really didn't have any evidence linking them to the crime.
Right. When you have no evidence. See, what happens in wrongful conviction cases, there's never really an investigation. Often what we do is we call so-called reinvestigate the case. And then we find that, like in Damien Echols' case, we found that three witnesses that say that placed the stepfather with the children right before they were murdered. Now, according to, and they said, though, this is 20 years after the murder. They said to us, nobody ever asked us. We were neighbors. Nobody knocked on our door. The police did knock on his door and say, "Did you see anything?" And I didn't think that my information was pertinent. The fact that I saw those three kids with the stepfather hours before they were found dead, I thought they knew that. So there really is no investigation. And what people like I do recommend is reinvestigate the case, publicize the case, set up a tip line. It's amazing how many people have information that they don't know is pertinent. That's enough to maybe reopen a case.
So once wrongfully convicted, how did defendants even start the appeals process?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. When Marty Tankleff got out of prison after 20 years or almost 20 years, and we were speaking and publicly speaking, and the news media came up and stuck a microphone in his face and said, "Doesn't everybody in prison say they're wrongfully convicted?" And Marty looked at the guy like he was an idiot and said, "No, but I could tell you the guys and men and women I was with in the law library likely either were wrongfully convicted or their cases were so screwed up that they had, you know, so not everybody's wrongfully convicted, but many cases involve terrible due diligence, terrible legal and prosecutorial misconduct that. So that's part of it. That's how they do it. And Marty wrote 50,000 letters in the 18 years he was in prison. He wrote letters to Ed Koch. He wrote letters to judges. Every news person on, you know, every station in New York got a letter from him. Years later, people would come up to him and say, "Oh, I got a letter from you." You know, so his messages never stop. And every wrongful conviction person that gets out will tell you that just keep going. Just keep fighting for your case. Keep proclaiming your innocence. Go to the law library constantly. I mean, that's the hope. I mean, most people never get out, or they get out on parole eventually, or some cases. I'm working with a guy named Danny Rincon, who was sentenced to 158 years in prison.
Wow.
I'm working with Pamela Smart, who was sentenced to life without parole. She's already done 32 years. She's the longest serving woman inmate in New York State prison. And her case was in New Hampshire. So never give up. That's the message. There's enough evidence of people who are out, who even got paroled finally, or got their sentences commuted, that didn't give up. So
how do you think that, you know, us as citizens can protect ourselves from something like this happening? Because I know I'm certainly very alarmed by this. Just the fact that it can happen to one person is extremely upsetting. What can we do?
Well, it's so important to educate people. I'm a not-for-profit. I was a co-founder called Families and Friends of the Wrongfully Convicted. And it's based in Brooklyn, and we have a storefront. We try to educate young people to make sure to know the law. Nobody knows their right. The reason you get a false confession is because you don't know your rights. And the police have no interest in informing you of your rights. I mean, even if you ask for a lawyer, they'll say, "Well, and if you're young, especially, or disabled, or, an alcohol, or, you know, that's you know, then you're not going to know your rights. It's very, I joke, it's a bad joke, but I tell my kids who are young men, I said, don't go into the precinct of, like, don't pay your tickets by going into the precinct, because if there was a murder, you're walking in there, they could, you know, it's sort of a joke saying, be very careful. Be very careful what you say to police. And it's very hard not to, you know, want to cooperate, so to speak. Jeffrey Deskovitz is another famous false confession case. And a schoolmate of his was brutally raped and murdered. And Jeff was was a troubled kid in some ways, lonely, and he wanted to help. And he went to the precinct or asked the police officers, "How can I help? How can I help?" And they said, "Oh yeah, come on in, come on in." The next thing you know, he was under the desk crying, hysterical. He had falsely confessed to a crime he didn't do, because they just he begged for a lie detector test. He passed it. They told him he failed it. This is the tactics that police and prosecutors use to get a conviction. Granted, I'm not going to say they all do that. I'm not going to say every person who commits a crime is innocent. Of course not true. But if you say, there are 2.5 million people in prison in any given day, if you estimate this 5 or 10% are wrongfully convicted, that's 250,000 people. They're 10% wow. 10% of the inmates are women. So there's 250,000 women in prison. And also, it's an interesting statistic, 70% of women that have been wrongfully convicted or even convicted were involved in a case that never happened, a crime that never happened, which is much higher than men. So, for example, wow. What's a crime that never happened? Baby, shaken baby syndrome, or being prosecuted for, you know, child abuse in ways that there weren't. You know, we found out many times that you know, babies, women who take care of babies, they've been prosecuted. I've gotten calls from parents begging me to help. Their daughter was sentenced to 15 years in prison and their daughter was a little disabled and she was babysitting and the child got sick and she tried to, and then the parents turned against her and then the prosecutors. That's what's so sick. It's the prosecutors that push these cases, and young women are victims of these child abuse cases. Listen, there's a lot of child abuse, but a lot of these cases, I get a lot of calls about these cases where it's clear they over-prosecuted or they didn't have evidence, so they made up evidence. And we find years later that, you know, the forensic evidence or the medical examiners come in and they say this child was sick. This child had a disease. The child banged their own head, you know. So it's interesting that a lot of women that have been convicted, there was no crime.
So knowing our rights, knowing to ask that we can ask for a lawyer, that's the main advice, really.
Well, I'd be very careful what, any, you know, the old cliche, whatever you say, and it's part of the Miranda, can be used against
right.
you. I mean, even a traffic ticket. You know, I was talking to a lawyer recently and I was telling him about a speeding ticket I got. And he goes, he was telling me a story, but he got stopped for speeding. And the cop asked him, "Where were you going?" Listen. And he says, "Officer, if I was speeding, give me a ticket." Yeah. I mean, you know, he didn't give him any information. He was very careful about what information you give. You don't know what this person, you don't know where is the cop investigating a crime. And you say, "Well, I was going to California, you know, I was going up to Los Angeles or Brentwood, and there was a crime in Brentwood." I mean, listen, these sound far-fetched, but that's right. How wrongful conviction happened. That's how investigations and police, because then you become a suspect. So it's very careful what you say. I'm not saying don't trust police, but realize some ways, especially, you know, you could be caught up in a situation. So know your law, protect yourself, be polite and be fair, but realize you are very vulnerable.
Yeah. So we're running out of time, but at the end of the day, if you had to pick a person or thing, it could be a concept. And we ask all of our guest experts this question. What would you say is to blame for the wrongful convictions of the exonerated five? If you had to pick someone or something, who or what would that be?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I would say it was both the prosecution and the media, because you know, Donald Trump put an ad in the New York Times saying we should bring back the death penalty. The media became the spokesperson for the prosecutors. And the prosecutors know how to use, you know, they're not stupid. They're very effective. And it's my job to change the narrative. I mean, what I do when I work on cases, I contact all the old reporters that have reported on the original story. And I say, you know, we have new information. 20 years later, we have new information. And they're often very, if they're still around, very receptive. And they hold on to their convictions and they hold on to what they wrote 20 years ago. And it's the same thing with prosecutors now. They will fight overturning a wrongful conviction no matter what, 20 or 30 years later. I mean, I've been in court where there's so much new evidence and they're just trying to undermine it.
Wow.
Let me add one more, the judges. Often you'll find a case where the judge realizes this cop may be lying. He'll even, he or she'll even say it in court, yet they won't take the action to dismiss the case or, you know, throw out the evidence. And all of a sudden, then the person gets sentenced to 25 to life because the judges are part of the same system that the prosecutors are. And again, they're elected. So,
Lonnie, thank you so much for joining us today and helping us understand how these wrongful convictions happen and, you know, shining a light on them.
Thank you, Rebecca, and thank you to your audience. I think you have a great website, and you're doing great work. I was very pleased to be asked to do this. Feel
thank
free
you,
to call me again anytime.
We will. We will.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello.
And fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
I mean, so fascinating talking to Lonnie and also so terrifying. I've said this before, you know, being wrongfully convicted is one of my biggest fears.
Mm-hmm.
And like he said, you're just so vulnerable in those situations that it's very scary. So it was good to, you know, remind ourselves about what we can do, at least in those situations.
Yeah, I mean, you watch those TikTok videos where the people get pulled over by cops and they don't say anything. Have you ever seen those?
No.
Yeah, it's like this weird trend. And I've seen this guy go through like customs and he just doesn't say a word. And then he gives him a piece of paper that says like, you know, I'm not going to answer any of your questions or whatever. And then he gives his license and the guy tells him to move on or whatever. But, you know, you watch those videos and you're like, oh, those people are paranoid. But then you hear somebody like Lonnie kind of talk about, you know, how vulnerable you are as a citizen, then you just understand it a little bit more.
I can confirm that my husband, who is a lawyer, is very particular about what we do or don't say when it comes to engaging with law enforcement. And there was a traffic ticket moment. And it was very clear that he, as a lawyer, had some insight. It was like, do not say anything. Like it's just because anything can be used. And it's a lesson I feel like I've learned that is helpful. Like, yeah, you don't
just don't say anything.
Be really selective with your words.
It's a shame because you want to be able to trust these institutions that they'll be on your side, but there's enough evidence for you to not trust them.
At least not in the situations we are right now.
Yeah.
So Clayton, what did we end up sending to the alarmist jail, and what did we end up giving the big slap to?
Yes, I'm going to pull it up right now. And what we sent to the alarmist jail was a racial judicial system. I'm sorry, a racist judicial system. And we gave the big slap to the district attorneys, Linda Farstein and Elizabeth Lederer.
I feel like we should switch.
Switch it up.
We should, just based on speaking to Lonnie and the kind of power that prosecutors have, and just the fact that they might be putting their own personal interests before the safety of our community, because when you are wrongfully convicting someone, you are allowing the actual predator to stay out in society.
I thought it was interesting the point he made, how that these are elected officials.
Yes.
And as we've seen, you know, elected officials have a desire to stay in their elected position. So they have an incentive to get the big cases to make it seem like they're doing, you know, successful, good work.
Yeah, it's this ugly kind of marriage between media and these ambitious prosecutors is basically what he said.
Yeah. So I feel like we, at least in this case, need to switch that.
Okay.
Switch that around.
Wow.
I mean, I'd love to throw the police chiefs in there as well, like we our instinct too, although they're, you know, working for the prosecutor, but at the same time, they're also elected officials.
Mm-hmm. Are they? Well, yes. No, that's true. Yeah, yeah, police chiefs are.
The police chief is. And if they're trying to, you know, like he said, oh my God, which was so powerful, what is it that will get a wrongful conviction? And that's aspiration.
Ambition.
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 I was trying, I knew it was an A word. I was like, oh God, oh God, oh God. Ambition, though.
And that's assimilation. No, that's assassination. Oh, what is the A word? Ambition.
Ambition. but seriously, I mean, that is so scary. So I feel like let's call it. Yeah. Prosecutors and police chief, you're going to the alarmist jail.
Wow.
And our judicial system, of course, is getting slapped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, terrifying, sad, sad case that, you know, perhaps we had heard of in the media years ago, but really didn't know the nuance behind it. The Central Park Five, the Exonerated Five, you know, it's just a good reminder, something we should always be going back on and making sure that these things are not forgotten. And that they're in the forefront of our mind, really, because it can happen to anyone.
It is. It is fascinating. And thanks to Lonnie for the work he does, you know, in sort of changing narratives and sort of challenging narratives, which is so difficult against a media that will just glom on to whatever is selling newspapers or, so to speak, or getting clicks or whatever. And, you know, that can be very treacherous and difficult. So props to Lonnie for his work.
Yeah, and we'll post his information about wrongfullyconvicted.info, which is the organization he's co-founder of.
Great. So stay tuned.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Because next week, we're going to be discussing the Philippines Pepsi number fever.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.